My name's Helen Reimer, and it really is great to be with you here this morning. I hope you had a lovely, if very different, Christmas. So here we are, at the end of 2020, a year we'll never forget. I'm sure you've seen some of the memes describing if 2020 were a ... Here are some of my favorites. If 2020 were a pinata, and yes, probably they'd be murder hornets. If 2020 were a math problem, and if 2020 were a scented candle. 2020 has been many things. A year of chaos and uncertainty. For many, the time of grief, disappointment, loneliness. A time when our support structures have been ripped away. Long months of confusion and doubt and fear. The unknown. And there have also been moments of celebration. There have been weddings and births. New jobs, graduations, and even these celebrations have been different because of the pandemic. When I was reading Psalm 46, it felt right away that this was a perfect psalm for this year. It's also Luther's favorite psalm, the inspiration for his hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And it's recorded that in his darkest moments, he would turn to his friends and say, come, let us sing the 46th Psalm. Verses 2-3 in the ESV translation read, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Throughout the Bible, mountains are images of stability. And the sea represented chaos and instability. And at the start of this psalm, the sea is definitely winning. And the fear of natural disaster isn't the only upheaval that's described in the psalm. There's also political chaos. Verse 6 begins, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. Now, we don't know who wrote this psalm or when it was written, but it's clear that it refers to a time of utter confusion and chaos, unpredictability and destruction. One theory is that it was written during the time of Hezekiah, when Judah was under attack by Sennacherib, king of Assyria. Hezekiah was actually one of the good kings. He was obeying God's commands. He was clearing out the temples and the idols. And about 5 years previously, the northern kingdom of Israel had been defeated by Assyria, and their people had been taken into captivity. Recently, Sennacherib had captured all the other fortified cities. And now Jerusalem was his target. The threat was real. The commander of the Assyrian forces was instilling fear and doubt into the people of Judah. He was taunting them in Hebrew so that they could all understand. And I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, don't trust that Hezekiah. Don't believe him when he says his God will save you. No king has ever defeated the king of Assyria. Trust the king of Assyria. He'll look after you. Don't try and rely on that God of yours. There was doubt. There was fear. There was confusion and grief. Another theory is that this psalm is more figurative. It's similar to the prophetic language regarding the day of judgment. And there's no doubting the similar imagery in Revelation when the seven seals were opened. For example, Revelation 8, verse 8 says, "The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea." Whatever the context for the writing of this psalm, the commentators agree that it's applicable today and whenever we feel like our earth is giving away. So let's turn to it now and see what strength and lessons we can find from it as we close out this year of chaos. The psalm is split into three parts, each separated by a pause or an interlude. Verses 1 to 3 speak of God's protection. 4 to 6 of God's peace, his victory. And then verses 8 to 10 speak of God's power and his majesty. It's God's protection, his peace, and God's power. Let's look first at his protection. The psalm starts with an absolute statement that God is in control and he's with us in all circumstances. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. There's no question or doubt here. God is our refuge and strength. And there's two different types of strength that the psalmist describes. God is our refuge and God is our strength. A refuge is a shelter from danger. It's external protection. It's a place to turn to for safety. And then God's strength gives us courage and confidence. It offers internal empowerment. It helps us face uncertain times. Where have we found refuge this year? What have we got our strength from? When the earth gives way, when we face grief or uncertainty, when we're afraid, who do we turn to? If it's not God, then it may offer us temporary hope or make us feel better, but it won't stand the test of time. And where is our foundation? Sometimes our foundations are in good things, things that can point us to Christ. But there's a difference between relying on those things and relying on God himself. Church is a good thing. Coming together to worship is a great thing. In fact, the Bible commands it. Family and friends are a strong bedrock for most of us. And we get joy, we're encouraged, we're uplifted when we spend time together. These foundations and many others came crashing down in March. And we've missed them. We still miss them. I miss worshipping together. I miss eating together with friends. I miss laughing together, actually in person, not just on a screen. But God hasn't gone away. God is still our refuge and our strength. God needs to be our foundation. We can and we need to turn to him for safety. And he will give us what we need, whatever challenges come our way. That's why the psalmist says with such confidence, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way. And the second part of that first verse gives us even more encouragement that this is true. God is described as being a very present help in times of trouble. And that word very or ever in some translations really stresses this, saying God has always proven this to be true. We can have absolute confidence that this is the case and always will be. God is very present with us here today and always will be. I'm sure if I could chat with you over coffee after the service, you'd be able to share stories and times when you felt God's presence in that deep way. Often, it's in our darkest moments that we're most aware of God's presence. But He is always with us, even if sometimes we don't feel that He is. And I want to pause for a moment as I recognize that some of you will be feeling that God is far away right now. In fact, maybe He's felt far away for a long time. And if that's the case, you're probably not feeling very encouraged right now. It might feel like God's strength, God's comfort, His courage are for everybody else, but not for you. I know, I've been there too. And what's given me encouragement in those times is that I'm not alone. The psalmist felt that too. Psalm 10 starts off, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" And Psalm 22 begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and am not silent." Jesus quoted this same psalm when He was dying on the cross. Grief, turmoil, fear are very real. We shouldn't hide from this or pretend that things are okay when really they're not. It doesn't make us a second-class Christian because we feel that God is far away or we don't feel His strength right now. Or we're angry with Him. Or we're upset. It makes us real. And what we need to do is tell God how we're feeling. The ugly bits as well. And look back and remember the times when He was present. When He did hear our cries. And if we can't pray ourselves, maybe others can intercede on our behalf. The Bible also says that the Spirit can make sense of our groanings even when we don't have the words. Or we can turn to the Psalms and read them as our prayers. And God will strengthen us. He will be there for us. He will be our refuge, our very present help in trouble. Because even though He can feel far off, He isn't. He's with us, always. I find the words of Lamentations 3 really encouraging when Jeremiah writes, "Peace has been stripped away, and I've forgotten what prosperity is. I cry out, my splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who depend on Him, to those who search for Him. So it is good to wait for salvation from the Lord." So let's return to Psalm 46 and God's protection. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, whatever calamity comes our way, we will not fear. The second part of this psalm speaks of God's peace. The chaos in the first section is contrasted with an overwhelming sense of control in these next few verses. Whereas previously we had raging torrents, here we have a river of life. God's grace, peaceful, calm, serene, unmovable. Here are the verses again. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. Now the city of God usually refers to Jerusalem, which is interesting in this passage because Jerusalem doesn't actually have a river running through it. So what is it referring to? Again, there are two schools of thought on this. Obviously, rivers were important in cities because they sustain life. And that's especially so if a city was under siege, because water is kind of essential. Now, Jerusalem's water, or its fresh water, comes from the Gihon Spring. And that's located outside of the city walls, which is sort of a problem when you're under siege. But actually, during the siege by Sennacherib, Hezekiah had blocked up the upper springs, and he got the water flowing into the city through a tunnel. Don't believe me? You can check it out in Chronicles. So if the psalm was set at this time, the river could refer to the fresh water that's coming right into the heart of the city, bringing relief and delight to the people. Or it could also point to the second coming, as both Ezekiel in his visions and John in Revelation talk of a river flowing through the city. Revelation 22 begins, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city." So whichever theory you prefer, or if you think they both actually apply, it's clear that the psalmist is reminding us that it's God who is in control, God who sustains us. God is in our midst. He's our help. And the Christian church is unshakable, even if it hasn't been able to meet, because it's sustained by God. Whatever natural or political chaos there could be, even a pandemic, nothing shakes God's kingdom. And verse 5 is a stark contrast to verse 6. Verse 5 says, God in the midst of his city will not be moved. But other nations, in verse 6, they were in uproar, and their kingdoms did move and fall. In the original Hebrew, the word move is the same in both of these verses, which doesn't really come across in the English translations. But it stresses that amidst all the chaos and the confusion, God's kingdom remains at peace. It remains the same. It stands firm. Now, if you're curious about the relevance of the line about God's help coming at the break of the day, here are a few thoughts that I pulled from various commentators. Because we know that God's help comes at all times of the day, not just in the morning. But it could be that break of day is kind of a poetic reference, meaning God's help comes right away or when it's needed. Or it could serve as a reminder of other times of deliverance that happened at the start of the day. The Red Sea parted at the start of the day. And for us Christians, we're reminded that it was dawn that the resurrection became apparent. Or if we go back to the story of Sennacherib and Hezekiah, actually then at dawn, the people awoke to find that overnight, 185,000 of Sennacherib's troops had been slaughtered by an angel of the Lord. Not surprisingly, Sennacherib and his troops fled back to Assyria, and God had protected Jerusalem and his people. So before we go to the third section of the psalm, it's worth noting that the following refrain appears twice, once here at the end of the first section, and then again at the end of the psalm. It says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And this is another reminder that our powerful God is always with us. And I love the fact that it talks about the God of Jacob. Because Jacob wasn't an ideal model saint. He struggled against God. He was deceitful. He was lying. He was selfish and scheming. Because actually, God's refuge, God's help, doesn't have anything to do with us or our holiness. It's all about God. Thank goodness. So now we come to the final part of the psalm. God's power and majesty. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. These verses are prophetic. It points to a time without war and violence. A time when even the weapons of war are useless. A time when God has had the absolute and the final victory. We need to remember that the war has already been won. We don't need to be afraid. We just need to look at the works of God and remember Christ will reign forever and ever. And in verse 10, we see a change in the subject. This is God speaking directly to us. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. If you know me, even just a little, you will know that I find being still and quiet really difficult. But the meanings of the word be still here actually have nothing to do with being quiet. They carry a sense of surrender, which I also struggle with. They could mean stop fighting or stop striving. The Common English translation puts it, that's enough. Now know that I am God. And the Passion translation says, surrender your anxiety, be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. They're the same words used by Jesus when he calmed the storm and told the wind and the waves to be still. I see this as a reminder to step back, to stop looking at our troubles or trying to find a way forward ourselves, and instead to stop, to pause, and to remind ourselves who God is, how much he loves us, and how powerful he is. Because when we focus on God rather than ourselves, and when we turn away from our challenges and our worry and start to remember who God is, then we can know with more certainty the truth at the start of this psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And we won't be worried or afraid, as we'll be fully in awe of who God is and what he does for us, his children. To conclude, I want to read a summary of the psalm that I read in a devotional on it by John Carson. He writes, what the psalmist is so beautifully saying here is that even when we seem to be fighting against all odds, when the rush and the clamor seem unbearable, and when everything seems to be tumbling down among us, our loving God's still small voice can be heard over all the noise, saying, cease striving. Let go, relax, and know that I am God. He is saying, stop worrying and understand that I am all you need. I am able and more sufficient to see you through. Just look at my track record. Trials and desolations may come, but remember, I am in control and nothing surprises me. By the breath of my mouth, I breathe the very universe into existence. Psalm 33, verse 6. And by that very same breath, I can destroy my enemies. I love you. Trust me. My prayer for me and for all of us is that as we end this year, and move into 2021, that we will have grown closer to God through these trials. And we'll be able to say with confidence now and as we face future difficulties, God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Looking forward to seeing you next year.